Deuteronomy chapter number 1. In this passage of Scripture, Moses is gathering Israel together. They're about to go into the Promised Land. They're going to cross the Jordan, and that's where the book of Deuteronomy will end, as Joshua will pick up. But he gathers them together. They're right there on the brink. And Moses is going to give them some final instructions. And that's basically what the book of Deuteronomy is. He's reminding this new generation. You remember what happened with the older generation that said no, they would not go in because of their lack of faith. And they, for the next 40 years following that event, would all pass away from 20 years old and up. Now this next generation is standing on the brink of going into the Promised Land. And as they're standing there, Moses gathers them together and reminds this new generation that God's law had not changed. That what God had said was still true. And we have almost a second giving of the law. It's the same law, but it's a reminder to this new generation that what the Lord has said is still the truth. Now, I'm looking at you hundreds and thousands of years later and telling you what the Lord has said is still true. It doesn't change generation to generation. God's word is still the truth. He rehearses the story. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter number 1, just glance with me a few verses. Verse 1, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan, in the wilderness and the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizabab." And I said that perfectly. Challenge me. All right? That was perfect. All right? But he gathers them all together. He rehearses everything that God had done. Skip down to verse number 22. "And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and to what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe," and we know the story. It says, "And they turned and went up to the mountain, and came into the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, It is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents, and said, Because the Lord hated us, he had brought us forth out of the land of Egypt." Isn't it amazing how quickly, when we show a lack of faith in the Lord, how our view of God can change? I mean, Israel have been blessed and taken care of for so long already at this point, yet they're saying God hated them. Friends, God hates no one. He doesn't hate you. The devil loves to whisper it in your ears, but he's a liar. It says they will keep reading, "To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there." It was true. They had huge inhabitants of the land, giants. They had walled cities. It was true. But by the way, this generation he's spoken to went in and God whipped every one of them. And God could have done it then too. Verse 29, "Then I said unto you, Dread not, neither be afraid of them." Verse 30, "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that he went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God." They didn't believe the Lord. Because of their lack of faith, that generation wasn't able to go into the Promised Land. Well, now Moses is rehearsing all of this. And now he tells them, it's time for us to go. It's time for you to go into this land. The issue for the generation ahead of them was that they had not believed the Lord God. And this is nothing new. We know this story very well. But this jumped out at me. I've been reading, and I think I've shared it before, through Leviticus, Numbers, and I am in Deuteronomy now. But early this week, I read just a few verses down below this, and it just jumped out at me, and it has been on my heart all week. And here's the weird part. I haven't fully understood everything why God has this on my heart. I told Brother Tyler this morning, we were joking, he said, am I teaching or are you teaching Sunday school? And he was teaching. And I said, well, and he said, are you preaching this morning? I said, I think so, but I'm still not even sure what I'm preaching. Now, I say that, I have all my notes. Don't worry, I can preach an hour. But something hit me. And it's just, I've meditated on it all week. I have notes here. It is not a typical Travis Burke sermon. There's no fancy alliterations. There's no, you know, it's just different. But in verse number 37, I want you to see this. Moses is speaking. He says this. Also, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. The Lord was angry with me for your sakes. Now we know, I think you know, why Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. That story, if you want to glance, keep something right here, just your hand or bookmark. Look back in Numbers chapter number 20. And just back a book, Numbers chapter number 20. Look at verse number 7. And again, God had, before this event, instructed Moses to go and strike a rock, and water would gush forth and allow all the Israel to drink. Well, Israel was thirsty again, and God told Moses to speak to the rock this time. And the reason that's important is because I believe that rock's a picture of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus would only be smitten once. He would die for our sins, but once and for all. Now we can just call upon Him. And it's a beautiful picture. But in Numbers chapter 20, verse number 7, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now. Now, Moses is, he's not in a good mood. Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. The water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you what? Believed me not. Because you believed me not. That's the same thing Israel did in not going into the promised land, that first generation. Same sin. Moses is now guilty of that same sin. This is because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore you shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. Now, Moses doubted God. God told him to do one thing and he didn't do it. He didn't believe the Lord. But also it's another very important fact that there's a principle here being taught, and Moses' anger that we just read about, you rebels, and he's obviously upset. He's obviously disgruntled with the people of Israel, and he smites the rock when he was supposed to speak to it. Which, our God is not an angry God. He does get angry at sin, but our God is not a God that loses his temper. He's never lost his temper. Our God is a God who is controlled, he's faithful, and he's just, and he's perfectly fair. And Moses almost put him like all the other pagan gods. It's, God's mad at you, and now I got to strike this rock, you bunch of rebels, and why do we have to keep fetching you water? And he's angry at all these things. And when you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 37 again, and the Lord was angry with me for your sakes. It's such an interesting statement. Moses realizes and he shares something, and I don't believe he's blaming Israel, because Moses is the one that did wrong. But Moses got caught up in their same unbelief. He allowed others to get to him. And then he did it the wrong way. You know, when something's mentioned once in the Bible, it's pretty important. Amen? When it's mentioned twice, three times, four times, we better take something's important here, right? I mean, we just read Deuteronomy 1:37. Also, the Lord is angry with me for your sakes. Look over in chapter number 3 in Deuteronomy, in verse number 26. Deuteronomy 3, and in verse number 26. It says, but the Lord, Deuteronomy 3:26, but the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me in this matter. He says it again, that the Lord had gotten wroth with Moses for their sakes. In chapter number 4, and in verse number 21. Chapter 4, and in verse number 21. Moses still speaking says, furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and swear that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto the good land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Moses keeps going back to this. It's interesting. Look over, and then we'll go back to Deuteronomy. Look over in Psalm 106. Look in Psalm 106. The book of Psalms in 106. Psalm 106 and in verse number 32. Psalm 106 and verse number 32. Again, it's going through Israel's history. Verse 30, Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed, and that was counted on them for righteousness. Verse 32, they angered him, that's God, also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Again, that's where I have confidence in saying Moses got angry. Moses said things he shouldn't have said. And God was upset with Moses for their sakes. Now, as I began to think on this and meditate on it, why is this so important to repeat, not twice, three, four times, right? This fact that God was upset with Moses for their sakes. The fact is this, that Moses had allowed himself to get caught up in Israel's unbelief. Israel was wrong for their unbelief. Amen? They should have marched right into the promised land the first time. They should have allowed God to use them to conquer that land. But they doubted God. They did not believe the Lord. Moses is guilty of the same sin. Now, Moses did not get punished by God and not allowed to go into the promised land because Israel sinned. That's not the point. Moses did wrong because he allowed himself to get caught in the flesh because of what they were doing. I have thought about this whole week, and it may not sound like a big deal to you, but I just can't get it off my mind. The fact that that other people led Moses to making wrong decisions. I'm looking at a church that I am very thankful to be a member of. I love our church. I thank the Lord for our church. I thank the Lord for our doctrine, for our preaching. I thank the Lord for our beliefs on holiness and the difference. And I'm thankful that we don't look like the world and act like the world and talk like the world. I'm thankful for those things. But I have heard in the last few weeks, multiple times people say, yeah, but I know what you preach, but I know other people that in the auditorium. I know, and again, I've had these whatever notes I have here down since Tuesday, and the fact is this, that we need to understand something, church, that we do not just live for ourselves. Our life and our choices are influencing other people. And God forbid we be the reason that someone isn't growing in the Lord. God forbid that Travis Burke be the excuse for why someone doesn't mature in the things of God. Now, if that person makes that choice, and, you know, I like, Brother Davis is always just easy to use, right? So there he is, right? If Brother Davis decides to do wrong, he will stand before God for that. That is his choice. Just as Moses, he had to give account to God for what he did. But the Bible, four times, refers to the fact that and the Holy Spirit allowed it to be pinned down. I don't think Moses is bitter at them. I think Moses is just telling the truth. That you got to me. You got to me. You say, oh, Moses, he had to be punished. Now listen, Israel was punished too. Say, how were they punished? Because their great leader was taken away from them because of this. Because of their repeated murmuring, complaining, because they were continually pushing things with God, they were continually, you know, not having this lack of faith in the things of God. Moses repeatedly praised God for him. He's one of the meekest men we read about in the Bible. A great leader, but it finally got to him. And for your sakes, you understand what Moses is saying? I messed up. For your sakes. It is so important that they were on the brink of going into the promised land. The promised land, again, I believe is not a picture of heaven. I believe it's a picture of victorious Christian life. Because when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have to go through flooded waters and fight giants and tear down cities and all that's all behind us. Amen? It is rather a picture of our life here on this earth. That as we live, we are going to face giants. We are going to face mountains. We are going to face enemies. But praise God, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That's a blessing. But everybody look at me. It took 10 people. 10 people. And their words. For an entire generation. To turn their back on God. Now, if you do the ratio, 10 to what? 2 million, roughly? So what would that be for our church? Easily one. I feel like really can't do half a person, right? So one. Stop and think about that. One person. Can quit on God. One person can go backwards on what they've been taught. One person can let go of the banner. And an entire generation. Again, I'm not saying they're losing their salvation, but they can lose their faith in God. That's a powerful thing to think about. One person can say, you know, I'll use something I believe we all agree on in here. You know, baptism doesn't save a soul. Amen? Baptism is merely a picture of what we have put our faith in. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. One person, something. Their word, you say, we would never change on that. I would hope not, but I've seen other churches that at one time took a strong stand that their doctrine's completely flipped upside down too. In a matter of 20 years. You see, every one of us hold a great responsibility. We are, as members of this church, a body. I got my finger got punctured by something, and I don't even know when I did it. Yesterday, I was cooking and did a fantastic job, may I say? And I reached in because we have a little pot from Mexico, the Harris's got us, and that's where we keep our pink Himalayan salt. If you don't know what that is, see me. It's important, right? And I reached in my hand to get some of that, to sprinkle a little salt bay. I was going to put it on there, right? And all of a sudden, my finger just lit up, man. It was kind of wimpy. I had to go and wash my hand and put a little cloth on it because it stung, right? It's amazing how, and I looked at it, it's just like the tiniest, I don't know if it's a paper cut or what it was, the tiniest little thing. But my whole body felt it.
Right.
Right. So I'm not, no, you are a big deal. Outside these walls, what are you doing in influencing a lost world? Outside these walls, are you the excuse for people not to go to church? Are you the reason someone says, why should I? Are you the reason that someone who has said, and listen, in the last few months, these things have happened. And I think that's why God jumped this verse out at me. There have been some new believers and people that have been growing that are, you know, starting to make some life changes that God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to them about. I mean, when was the last time I preached a message on things like dress and things? You know, it's been quite a while. But people have been making a change because the Holy Spirit does a much better job than I do. I'll teach on it every time the Holy Spirit tells me to. But isn't it amazing how God can teach on those things? And some of them have made decisions in growing only to have a church member look at them and say, well, it only takes one. And for your sakes, they can make wrong decisions. They're the one accountable. But that for your sakes is pretty heavy. Not once, not twice, four times the Holy Spirit has it in our Bible. That Moses, for your sakes. I don't want to be that person for anybody. The victorious life is what God wants us to have. And by the way, they didn't enter because they didn't have faith. If you want to live the victorious Christian life, it starts with faith. Believe that He is who He says He is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It is faith. Faith in the fact that I am a sinner. I deserve death. I deserve hell. That's the best I can ever expect on my own. But faith that God loved me so much He sent His Son to die for me, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, the perfect spotless Lamb of God, shed His blood on the cross and died for my sins, but praise God He arose again, showing Himself victorious, and now you and I can be saved by faith.
Amen.
And what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. That's where it all starts, faith. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I was made righteous because I believed in what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Faith. This victorious life starts with faith. But listen, it is possible to stray from that faith. I just think sometimes we said in church, I've been guilty of this, and I went to church the first time when I was 5 days old. 5 days, right? And you can count on this one hand how many services, you know, I've had to miss completely. You know, I've always been in church. Right? And praise the Lord for that. But I've been guilty of sitting in church thinking, I'm good. And I lose my appetite for the things of God. As a teenager, I got caught in that. We had a very large youth group church I went to. Not uncommon to have 100 teenagers in the youth group. And I, believe me, I've already told you my fault, so I'm not bragging. But as a teenager, I looked around and thought, I sure am doing better than a lot of these. Probably most of them. A lot of them came on buses. A lot of them didn't have the privilege of being raised in a home that was taught these things. And I knew them. But as we spoke last week, pride started to settle in my heart. And I, during the preaching time, be it in Sunday school, be it in the services, I quit being engaged. That's why I've made a challenge, and I do it this morning in Sunday school. You know, I can open my notebook and show you the notes I took from Brother Tyler in his lesson this morning. It was a great lesson. We bear in our body the marks. Paul was a person of priorities. I still don't know the second word he said. Permutation. That was a good one. Profession, principle, and power. So why'd you write it down? I'm not getting a quiz later because I want to stay engaged. I want to hear. All right, God, you have something for me today. Isn't it sad how we start coming to church and we just kind of zone out? And I wonder by our actions sitting in church with our tie on, sitting in the pew, I wonder how we're influencing the people that come into the church. When we stand there and we're singing, "Come thou fount of every blessing," and our mouth never even opens. You might be the one. Now for your sake, they make a wrong decision. We can all stray from the faith, and a lot of that happens because of the influence of other people. Evil communications corrupt good manners every time. And we allow ourselves to get caught into this, but in this Christian life where we should be victorious, we started on faith. If you haven't started yet, start today by getting saved. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus. But understand, as a child of God, you can stray from faith. I mean, everybody in this room knows believers who at one time were faithful to church who now are not. And I'm not throwing bricks at them and calling them names. That can happen to me and it can happen to you. Because all of us can stray from the faith. And usually, it's the influence of others. A lot of times, it's the influence of the world. But I have found in my experiences that not normally isn't the reason. Normally, there was someone who they started talking to, someone they started doing something with, that pulled them away. I believe this passage of Scripture and all of this story is a beautiful picture of salvation. In light of this, I'm just sharing all my thoughts on this verse this week. Moses was a giver of the law. Amen? We all get that, right? The law got them to the point, but couldn't take them over. Who followed Moses? Which is the Hebrew name for Jesus. The law can only get you so far. Amen? The law can only get you so far. It's the Lord. He's the only one that can help you enter this promised land. There's so many different lessons, but I close with these thoughts. Just from thinking about that last point I told you, you can't enter this victorious life without Jesus. You can't. You can't live the victorious life without Jesus. Here's my alliteration. You can't enter this life without Jesus. Look at me. You can't enjoy this victorious life without Jesus. If you're not walking with Him and talking with Him, if you don't have a daily time, if you don't have an appetite for the things of God and say, "God, I don't just want the milk today. Give me something to chew on today. Help me to grow." You cannot enter this life without Jesus. You cannot enjoy this life without Jesus. You cannot engage this life. So what do you mean, engage this life? There are battles in this life. As a Christian, we're going to fight battles against our own flesh. Amen. Against the world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. We cannot have the promise of victory without the Lord fighting these battles for us. This victorious life cannot be entered into without Jesus, enjoyed without Jesus, engaged without Jesus. No, listen, you dare not exit this life without Jesus. If you don't know Him today, come meet Him today. Find your way to His altar today. Let someone take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. Because God's plan of salvation is for everyone. It's for you. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. To the child of God, may no one choose to do wrong for your sake. We all have a lot of responsibility. If you're saved, glorify God by saying amen.
Amen.
If you said amen, you have a responsibility. Well, people, just their lack of faith. When we influence others and do wrong, it's because of our lack of faith too. And may no one for our sake make the wrong decision. Let's be faithful.